Hey, everybody. What a delight to be sharing the Word of God with you again this week. And I want to talk about harvest. At the beginning of the year, we took the scripture out of Galatians 6:9, saying that we will reap a harvest. And I felt that that scripture related to this year, 2025. And I'm believing that in this second half of this year, the harvest will only increase at a greater and greater level. But I wanted to specify a harvest that is mentioned by Jesus, and that is the harvest of souls. So this week we're going to talk about you and I seeing a massive incoming of people who will receive Jesus. In Matthew 9, verse 35, over to chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" Then in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power of unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who's called Peter, and then the other 11 are named." At the beginning of this story, we read the motivation that Jesus had in his heart was compassion. Let me ask you this. When you look at the vast hordes of people all around the world, what are the people that you feel compassion for? Who do you love? Then if we come into our local community, who are the people that your heart goes out to them? You feel for them. You're moved when you see them in pain or in sorrow or in wounds. And that is what moved Jesus. He looked around this multitude and he was moved with compassion. People get moved by their emotion. And when we speak out of our emotion and follow love, it's like we are following God, because God is love. And what we love can be an indication of where God is leading us. He's not expecting us to win everybody everywhere all the time. But there'll be days when you and I just feel for somebody. We hear their pain, we hear their story, and we feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit within, saying now would be a great moment to share Jesus with them, or to invite them to a connect group, or to help them come to church next Sunday. So Jesus sees this challenge in front of him, and the people are weary and scattered, and he knows, I can never do this on my own. I need an army. I need people who will go out there. He didn't say pray for entertainers or talented people or intelligent people or intellectuals or wealthy people or poor people or people who have skills in industry. He just said, I just would like some workers, some people who would have it in their mind that winning a person to God, to Christ, making disciples, it actually is work. It means I am giving my life to Jesus for the highest purpose, which is bringing people to Christ. There is not a higher purpose than that. It is the number one priority that I have always pursued all around our movement over the many years we've been here. And sometimes we see it dipping, other times we see it increasing. And let me tell you right now, I am seeing a great increase in the number of people who in our services are coming to Christ. I was in one service in Hobart, and they've had a 300% growth in the last 2 years. On the altar call, there would have been nearly 30 people. I was in another one of our churches recently, same thing. Many, many people. I think they said there were 50 people on the altar call coming to Christ. Now, that may not be happening in our particular congregation, but I believe the opportunity is on us right now for us to begin to see, even if we get an increase of one person coming to Christ each week. If there haven't been anybody, that's like a 100% growth. And if we, as congregations, as individuals, as teams, can think we are living for this, we are existing for this, the church exists for people who are not yet in the house of God, who haven't been born again. And of all the things that I would be the most desperate about, it's that people are going to make it into heaven. There's not a more important issue, because once we die, that's it. There's one life and then the judgment. And if we can help people make that decision, I mean, I would be happy just to squeak through the door as long as I'm in that place in eternity. Imagine if we were not going there, but the other place forever. I mean, you and I have been blessed by the grace of God bringing us to the point where we made a decision to accept Jesus. He helped us. He drew us and we responded. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving us a disposition and a heart that could say yes in our moment of need. Mine was a vulnerable moment in my life when I had a need, of a spiritual need, and I was searching. And when people are in that point of pain in their life, point of need, and they're frustrated or angry or let down or disappointed, discouraged, wounded, whenever it is, you and I who have Christ have the solution. Jesus is the solution for everything. He is the Savior. And so when we see people and our hearts are soft, we love them. I've never found a person respond negatively when I have approached them out of a motivation of love for them. It's when we want to argue about things, evolution, or argue about stuff that has not got anything to do with their salvation. But people will bring up arguments. We don't have to argue. When I met the Lord, I went out, like they took me out the back. I was a complete pagan. I had no idea who Jesus was or who God was. I did not know that God and Jesus were relatives. I didn't even know that. Had no idea, no education about the Bible or about the gospel at all. So I went out the back, and the very first question I had to the guy who was counseling me, I said, what about all the Buddhists? What about all the Hindus? What about all these other religions? Surely they're legit. And he didn't try to argue with me at all. He just said, you just keep following the Lord. He'll talk to you about that. I've often thought of that moment, for how easy it would have been for somebody to feel like they've got to contend for the faith and enter into, oh no, you got to. And I found oftentimes people were trying to be God when they should just leave God to be God with people, so that he knows when they're ready to receive certain information. The simple thing of getting a person to ask Christ into their life is so important. And then he starts to cleanse them. It's impossible to gut a fish before you catch it. Once fish are caught, then we can do what we need to do. And they get cooked and for the kingdom. But to just receive Jesus, that's it. That's all that needs to happen. Just receive Jesus into their life. And from that point, He is able to do the work in them that only He can do. We can't transform people. Jesus can do that. The Holy Spirit can do that. And so He said, I want to have workers who have a heart, who are moved for people who are weary and scattered. We live in a very anxious, weary world. And anxiety is wearing people out, wearing them thin. They're angry, they're anxious, they're frustrated. And when you are a voice that brings peace and you reach out to them with the kindness of Christ and the grace of God, people's hearts get open. They come to Him. So when we come to church next week, there's going to be about another 1.5 million lost people in the world than there are today, each week. It's amazing. There's so many people who are going out of this life, about 200,000 a day. It's about 200 a minute. And you and I, if the army of God all around the world can be mobilized into sharing Jesus and the love of God with people, maybe just if you made it a goal to invite one person in the next half of this year to come along with you to church and you pick them up and you bring them along, it may not work the first time, but you can say, well, we have another connect group, let's go out for dinner. And just sharing with them your life, patiently walking with them, eventually people open up to God and they come to Christ. One thing that is a fascinating statistic is that 2 out of 3 Christians asked Jesus into their life before they turned 18. Right now, Gen Z is the most rapidly reviving segment and age group all around the world. They're coming to Christ in literally the hundreds of thousands right now. The most Bibles that are being bought by Gen Z. Young people en masse are turning to Christ, and that is the hope of our world. That when youth and young men and women get called to follow Jesus and start preaching and living in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will see a massive global revival. And I have no doubt that that is going to come. And you and I in our churches, we need to reach out to these young men and women and help them find their place in church. Let them dance, jump, sing, all of that, so that we see a massive teenage revival throughout the world. On the positive note, about 150,000 to 200,000 people per day right now are receiving Jesus. So we are nudging ahead of the birth rate, working towards it. We need to outstrip it. God has room for billions in heaven. And for you and I, that means right now is our time to reap the harvest. Listen to this by Jesus in John 4, verse 35. He says, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields. They are already white for harvest. He said that right after he talked to the woman of Samaria at the well. And she went and told the people in the city that she lived, the village. And they all came out, listened to Jesus, and then they all came to Christ. And then in the book of Acts, we read of a huge revival in Samaria. It happened because Jesus spoke to one woman. And it was not so much what he said. He revealed a very kind of dirty little secret that this girl had. But it amazed her. She wasn't shamed by what he was saying. He didn't bring condemnation on her. He just said, the man you're living with is not your husband. And you've had 5 others. And she got convicted that this was the Messiah. She brought people out. And then Jesus says, look, guys, the harvest is white. Don't say there's yet 4 months. And we often can do that, use the timing of God as an excuse to not act now. We can say, oh yeah, it's not the right timing yet. In the Old Testament, Haggai said that to the people who had neglected rebuilding the temple. And they were saying that's not the time yet. They'd left it barren for 14 years. And Haggai was sent to motivate them as a prophet. Say, hey, come on. Don't excuse yourselves from building God's house by saying it's time to build our houses. And this is similar here. It's like the people were saying, oh, it's not the time yet. But Jesus said, yes, it is. Look around. And if all of us in all of our churches just thought about bringing one person into church for Christmas or sometime between now and the end of the year, and we said, you know, I'm going to pray for that person before I ask them. And then there'll come a moment when the Holy Spirit actually guides us, nudges us. And then we might find ourselves thinking, you know what, I reckon I could bring another person, maybe that person's friend. And we go as a group. And then if we just point our minds towards us, because this is what Jesus actually told us. He said, lift up your eyes. Look away from your own life. Look away from your own circumstance and your own problems. Actually see other people. And one of the big things that people are saying today is they don't feel seen. Nobody really understands them. I was at an airport counter recently, and there's a girl there, and it's like I'm there for something like a 7:30 flight, so I'm there at 5:30, and there's this woman there looking fresh, bright, well put, you know, dressed and hair made and everything. I'm thinking, man, what? And I said to her, what time did you get up today? She said, oh, about 3:30. I said, how far did you have to drive? She said, oh, I live an hour from the airport. And she said, you know, it's weird. It's like you can see me. You can see my life. And all we've got to do is think about what people are going through, get out of our own life, and people appreciate being seen, that you're understanding what's going on in their world. And it's so rare that when we do it, people are amazed. They go, like, I matter in the world. Because many people are self-absorbed and only thinking about themselves. But Jesus is saying, no, lift up your eyes, get a positive view on the world around you. I think people are ready. They're ready to receive Jesus. There's people everywhere who want God in their life. And the Bible says the humble shall hear and be glad. There's no point in just striking up an argument with a proud person who's hard against the gospel. And often we are drawn to that. Find the people who are humble at that moment in their lives, and they'll be open. They'll be glad to hear good news. And so Jesus handled that woman properly, the tone of his voice, the love in his heart for her. She felt that, and she responded, and she believed. And so people are ready, and there are ready people. And when we find those people, let's not ignore the moment. Let's not leave it without actually getting involved with the gospel. When Jesus called his disciples, they came to him, and then he gave them power. And I'm praying for each one of you today that you receive power. And then he sent them out. He didn't send them out powerless. They came as disciples, and that's our first calling. The first calling is to Jesus, so that we receive wisdom, power, grace in our lives before we minister. Our first calling as ministers is Jesus. He called them to himself. He gave them power and sent them out as apostles. They now had an authority from heaven to cast out demons, to heal all sickness and all diseases, and to share Christ with everybody they met. I am praying for you right now that the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Can you reach out to the Lord? Heavenly Father, let the grace and power of God equip us so that we do not find sharing Christ a difficult or something that we avoid, but Lord, that we are able by the power of Christ to bring real solutions into people's lives in this hour. We love people, Father, like you do. And we are aching for their souls to receive Jesus and be in heaven as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to talking next time.
Amen. And invite you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me so that I can have eternal life. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and I give you my life from today and forever. And I promise to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let this in your hearts be a renewal. Oh, you don't have to pray this. Let this be a renewal in your hearts to say, Lord, I come again. I come again to you. I set my heart anew and afresh for you. So, Father, bless your people.